At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. On Sunday, a populist leftist was elected president of Mexico. Andrés Manuel López Obrador won by a landslide, promising voters something along the lines of Mexico first. He vowed to generate more jobs in Mexico, which he hopes will cut back on migration and improve national security. Today on Public Radio's Texas Standard, host David Brown talked about the election with Richard Pineda, an associate professor at the University of Texas at El Paso, and Alfredo Corchado, Mexico border correspondent for the Dallas Morning News. Corchado says López Obrador's decisive victory reflects how fed up Mexican voters are with corruption in the country.
I mean, there was a real sense of we have to do something. We have to right the course of this country. As one voter told me yesterday, we have to press the reset button on this nation.
Professor Pineda, what do you think is the big takeaway from the result of Sunday's presidential election?
Well, I would agree with Alfredo. I would add to that that I think this is the first time in decades that we've seen a Mexican presidential election where the candidate that wins really comes in with a mandate, because not only did we see massive turnout, but you also saw the replacement of hundreds of seats across the country in the legislature and in other positions. So I think for the first time, a Mexican president will come in on December the 1st with a mandate. And that's really important because that translates into political capital, and it translates into his ability to be able to influence some of the change that he's laid out on the table as being important.
Alfredo, how much can President-elect López Obrador actually do, given that he is very much an outsider? He's not a member of any of the establishment parties.
That's really what we'll be looking at between now and December 1st when he takes office. I mean, he has promised so much. He's going to slash his own salary. He's going to raise salaries for workers, promised so many billions of dollars in social programs. The campaign is over, and so he has to strike even a more moderate tone to try to continue luring investors from outside, because what he's promising to do is so huge, so much, that he needs a lot of money.
I do think that the challenge for López Obrador is tied to the promises about corruption, because in some ways he's already set a red line for himself. I mean, one way in which he claims to be able to pay for some of the social programs is through ending corruption and rechanneling that money. But you've essentially then set for yourself a very specific goal and a very specific outcome. And that's a risky strategy. I mean, it's good for the campaign. And I think what the president-elect is going to have to deal with is now the challenge of governing, which is decidedly different.
As I understand it, AMLO, as he's commonly called in Mexico, did not really campaign much on Trump, at least and not more than his rivals. Why wasn't there more of a discussion about U.S.-Mexico relations here?
Because I think there are so many domestic problems to deal with. But what it is interesting now is he has a Mexico-first agenda, and you have a President Trump with America-first agenda. I mean, what happens to a place like Texas with $180 billion going to trade back and forth? If you start having a Twitter war between both sides, who loses?
Professor, what happens to a place like Texas? You're on the front lines there.
I do think that for border dwellers, I mean, I think that's where you're seeing really some of the strongest reaction. López Obrador began his campaign in Juarez. He used that platform to talk about not being the piñata that the Trump administration would continue to whack at.
Right.
So we're seeing some of that kind of come to fruition. But I think, as Alfredo pointed out, there are many other problems that really need to be addressed before AMLO pivots on Trump in particular.
That was Richard Pineda and Alfredo Corchado talking with Texas Standard's David Brown. Here in North Texas, there's mixed reactions about López Obrador's victory. KERA's Stella Chavez checked in with people who have ties to Mexico.
Maria Candelaria Gonzalez just got back to North Texas from visiting Mexico. As she waited outside the Mexican consulate in Dallas, the 66-year-old said she couldn't be happier about her native country's new leader. I told my husband he was going to win, and thank God he did, she said. We have faith that he's going to help Mexico get ahead and help families that have been separated, Gonzalez said. In his victory speech, Andrés Manuel López Obrador said he wanted Mexicans who left for the U.S. not to leave out of necessity, but he wasn't specific about what he would do to keep them from going.
And the other thing I wish he would have actually addressed is how this crisis at the border, how few of those citizens are actually Mexican.
That's Luisa del Rosal, executive director of the Mission Foods Texas-Mexico Center at Southern Methodist University.
You know, what is Mexico doing to support our southern neighbors, you know, Central America, which is the one seeing a lot of danger and unsafe conditions for its public, and henceforth why they're coming all the way to the United States?
While there's a lot of excitement in Mexico about a new president touting reform, Del Rosal says observers also have a lot of questions about what that will look like. In previous bids for president, López Obrador has talked about embracing globalization and opening more trade avenues for Mexico. Yet, Del Rosal notes he's also criticized NAFTA and suggested Mexico should withdraw from the trade agreement.
This is a point of pause when our, you know, most important economic partner for Texas is Mexico. And so there is a great deal of uncertainty that comes with somebody who changes their position as much, and we don't have a clear vision of what we can expect from this president.
Back at the Mexican consulate, Santana Delgado was waiting on a friend. The 63-year-old says he's realistic and a bit skeptical. He was born in Mexico but has lived in Texas for more than 50 years.
La corrupción y el narcotráfico, eso no se va a acabar. Y si...
The corruption and drug trafficking, that's not going away, he says. And Delgado worries that if López Obrador tries to push for too many changes, he could be harmed. Any kind of big change, Delgado says, won't be easy. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
The novel, An American Marriage, follows the love story of Celestial and Roy, a recently married couple living in Atlanta. They seem to have their whole lives ahead of them until Roy is wrongfully convicted of a crime. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with author Tayari Jones about what sparked her idea for the book.
I was at home in Atlanta in the mall, and I saw a young couple. The woman was splendidly dressed. I mean, she looked like she had just jumped out of a magazine. And the guy, he looked okay. But it was clear to me that they were in love and in trouble. And I overheard her say, clear as a bell, she said, "Roy, you know you wouldn't have waited on me for 7 years." And I was intrigued by this conflict, especially when he said back, "I don't know what you're talking about, because this wouldn't have happened to you in the first place." And I felt that they both had a legitimate point. And I know I have a novel when both characters are right, yet they don't agree.
That's the whole, the thing about this. What's really hard is that I couldn't decide in this tug of war. I would go from chapter to chapter and completely understand things from Roy's perspective. And then I would read things from Celestial's perspective and think, well, she's right here.
I mean, that is the real challenge of this situation. So Roy, you know, he's wrongfully incarcerated. And the reason we call it wrongful incarceration is because it's wrong. Something wrong has happened to him. And all he wants is a faithful woman. I'd say he's like Odysseus. He just wants to come home to a faithful woman and a clean house. But, you know, the Odyssey was written, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And this is a modern story. Celestial is a modern woman. And so they have such a hard time coming to a common ground on what is it fair to expect from one another.
This episode of Think rears tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Independence Day is Wednesday, but towns across North Texas are already celebrating. Tomorrow night, there's Kaboom Town in Addison, Mansfield's Rockin' 4th of July, and South Lake Stars and Stripes celebration, just to name a few. Check out Art and Seek's annual fireworks super list. That's at artandseek.org. For the evening, mostly clear skies. Should be a low around 80 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny and hot with a high around 102. At 6:30, this is KERA News.